Self-care. It's such a deep, layered word, and for me, it's really become the process of getting to know yourself, showing up for yourself over and over again. In creation of the Self-Care Creature podcast, I want to teach you, too, how to have a relationship with yourself. We're going to dive into the psychological and physiological unfoldings of adopting what I love to call a self-care lifestyle. This podcast is here to help you, the stressed out but spiritually minded individual who can feel that wild calling in your heart, who wants to develop self-care rituals to support your daily living, give you the confidence and know-how to live through your intuition and raise your self-worth. You deserve it. You are capable of this. And I want to help you understand how the hell to get there, what it actually means, and how do you actually live it. That's where my intention is with this podcast. The Self-Care Creature Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Courtney Klopp. Let's dive in. And we are back for part two, self-advocacy in relationships with Kristen. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. It's been fun already.
Yes. And for any listeners that want to know more about Kristen and her story and her background, highly recommend that you go and listen to part one, even if it's just the beginning there. If you want to give a short little bit about yourself again, feel free. I'll give you the stage for that now.
This is helping me practice my elevator pitch, so it's fine.
Love it.
I'm a retired chef turned health coach and clinical nutritionist in training. And I am just really excited to be here to talk about further things in health. We just talked about health and advocacy in the healthcare system, but friendships and relationships have so much more to do with health than people think. So I'm excited to continue the conversation in a different light.
Yes. And we recently connected over this conversation due to us both recently getting out of relationships. And so that was really fun to kind of just talk to each other about in the DMs. And then self-advocacy came up and I was like, what about a podcast interview? So here we are. And I just want to specify here in the beginning on relationships that we're not necessarily just referring to romantic or intimate partnerships, but we're delving into the entire spectrum of human connections, anywhere from family dynamics and friendships to work relationships and even just our everyday interactions. So self-advocacy plays a vital role in all of our connections, no matter where we are on the relational map. And we hope that listening to our insights and conversation today, that you'll just find something that helps you in wherever you're at in your relations as well.
Yes. So very well stated.
Thanks. So to kick us off, I will say self-advocacy extends beyond healthcare and can be crucial in various aspects of life, including our relationships. So in your own journey, Kristen, can you share a specific moment or experience where self-advocacy played a pivotal role in one of your personal relationships?
Ooh, there's so many that come to mind.
Yeah.
Kind of segueing from health to relationships, I feel like this is a good one. Because so often we think of friendships and relationships and less parent to daughter or child relationships. And that was a really pivotal piece for me is when I started to search for a Lyme doctor, I actually found a doctor that was 7 hours away and it was $1,000 for his intake. And I knew that my family would all be a little skeptical. Mm-hmm. Like, who is this guy? Whatever. And I knew it was what I wanted to do. I saved the money. I'm like, this is what I'm doing. And something really pivotal for me was working on my language to express that. And it was very hard at first. And I know hard to receive as well, but I was able to approach a family member and say, I would love to share what I'm doing with you, but I do not want any external advice right now. I don't want any opinions. I want to share it with you so you know what's going on, but this is what I'm doing. And I'm not available for any feedback kind of thing. And that was really pivotal for me because I could tell there was questions in going to see this doctor, but several family members were just on board then supporting me in my decision because I was so strong in it. And that doctor was the doctor who healed me. So
Ooh.
yeah, so that one was really pivotal for me because I think it was the one that stimulated me to be able to do that in my friendships and in my like intimate relationships, being able to stick up for myself. Because I think that it is a lot harder with family, especially family that you're around a lot or spend a lot of time on, being that firm.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think that one sticks out to me as the most pivotal because it kind of spinballed me being able to do that in other areas of my life, but also it really shifted the dynamics of that relationship over time with the person that I said this to. Just even on the basis of I was able to get really clear with what I needed in that moment.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're saying that you kind of realized the direction that you wanted to take. You wanted to share that with somebody else, and you wanted that person to know that you weren't available for feedback. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I think there's so much in time, like in connections with people that, you know, maybe we are venting or something and we don't really say, well, I don't want advice. I just need you to listen. And then we get
Yeah.
advice and then we get ticked off because they gave us advice and that's not what we were looking for. And it's just this whole little spiral of things.
Yeah.
And so when I think of like self-advocacy in relationships of all types, I think it's a lot of it is being able to ask for what you want or need, because we can't read each other's minds and we don't know what the other person needs. And so being able to kind of say that can really help a person show up for you in the way that you're needing.
Yeah, that's huge. That's like, I can just imagine like how pivotal that would be. And especially like you're saying, to take that to all different types of relationships, I can relate to a similar experience, like just having the epiphany when I've heard about this for the first time of being like, oh shit, like asking somebody, or somebody asked me, I think maybe is how it went first, but it was like, how do you want me to respond right now? Like, do you want me to listen? Do you want me to be your cheerleader? Do you want advice? Like, and it was really like, whoa, I didn't realize there were so many options.
Well, and it's hard because I think we don't often take the time to ask ourselves that question.
Right.
So then sometimes if we do go some to a friend and then we feel icky afterwards and we're like, well, why do I feel icky? Like they were supporting me, and you realizing, oh, it's not the way that you were wanting to be supported. And I think that kind of goes, I mean, like we were talking about in part one, is like self-awareness, really being able to inform self-advocacy. And the more you're aware of what you need in the moment, but from a certain person or what have you, it makes it easier for you to navigate your friendships and relationships of all kinds, because you know yourself, and then you can ask for it. And I mean, asking for help and all of that is a whole other thing that is challenging for a lot of people, but
yes.
It really all also starts with, yeah, getting to know yourself in that way.
Yeah, big time.
And I think it's really cool that somebody asked you that, because it's something a friend, I really practice this with one of my friends. She's in California, and she always is really good too about saying, like, if I don't specify this is what I need, she'll be like, okay, well, what would you like? Would you like advice? Would you like me to just listen? Do you want me to be angry with you?
Yeah.
What have you? And I think it's really cool when your friends can ask you that, or your partner, or whoever it is, can ask you that if you didn't specify it, because it shows that they really care about what you need at that moment and not just showing up with what they feel like they should do.
Yeah. And when this becomes like a regular part of communication in this relationship, it's also ends up feeling, at least from my personal experience, it
the relationship feels like a safe space where when you are having a conversation and you realize you're not getting the support that you want, maybe you didn't ask yourself that question first, you can pause and realize and maybe even communicate and say like, oh, actually, I think I just want you to like be my cheerleader right now. Like I don't need advice, you know, or like whatever it may be. And because of that familiarity, then that person is able to receive that a lot better. And it's not just us taking things personally, as that tends to happen.
Yeah. And that's not to say like setting those boundaries aren't triggering at times. Cause I will say when I tried this in my partnership that just ended recently, it was a very trying time when I started to initiate this. I said, I shared that I was like doing this with my friend, really working on it. And it's been great for our friendship. Like I'd like to try in the relationship and he was open to it. But I remember a specific instance where I was going through something and a lot of women are like this, but I was like this in this moment where I know that me saying something out loud would be processing it enough to where I would come to my own conclusions, just hearing myself say something out loud.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, I want to share this right now, but I just don't, I don't want opinions because I want to form my own opinion first. And so I was gotten to a place and I said, okay, I want to share this with you, but I don't want your opinion right now. I just need you to listen. And that was really triggering for him because he was like, what do you mean you don't want my opinion? Like we're in a relationship together. You should want my opinion. And it really took getting deeper into that communication to even be able to say, it's not that I never want your opinion. I just need to form my own opinion first and then get your feedback or share my opinion with you. And maybe it will be the same exact opinion, which is what it ended up being at the end of it.
Yeah.
But it was really triggering for him because he had not been approached like that before. And he ended up admitting later on that it was triggering for him also because I was so empowered in my needs. And for him, it was really hard to know what he needs to even be able to ask for it.
Yeah.
So it is kind of interesting because it is a kind of a hard concept to grasp if you haven't worked on it before. As awesome as it is, it definitely can be a triggering experience to integrate it into your friendships, family relationships, intimate relationships, what have you. But it's been probably the most pivotal thing in all of my connections. And also like that self-advocacy piece, like feeling confident to do that now, even when there's challenges, because like I said, you know, some people are like, what do you mean you don't want my opinion? And like, oh, it's not that I never do, but I just need to figure it out for myself first or whatever.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, there's so much juiciness here and it already has a lot of other questions bubbling up for me, but it reminds me of an experience I had, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, probably now, with a friend. And it was like, it ended up being like my entire, like I spent a year spiraling and thinking about this shit. But I remember that we were out at a restaurant and she was going through something with an ex or something. And she and I, you know, I've been a spicy person in my life, I'll say lightly. And she told me some shit and I just, you know, was being my blunt self. And I was like, that's fucked up, blah, blah, blah. And she just, I remember so distinctly seeing her. And this is like one of my best fucking friends that I've known for almost 20 years now. And I remember seeing her take a very deep breath and just looked at me and said, I didn't ask for your opinion. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and it just, like I said, like for a year, I was like, what the fuck are friendships if you're not even sharing opinions? Like, and it just totally had me. And so thanks for mentioning that part. Like some people, especially when you hear it for the first time, when you're not used to being in communication and in relationships in that way. Yeah, it can be really like, holy shit, what?
Yeah.
And that brings me to like these questions, and I'd love to hear how you've navigated it, but that opened up a huge door for me. Like, yeah, what are relationships and friendships if it's not just like giving advice and sharing your opinions, and then coming deeper into recognizing your own boundaries and your own needs within those relationships? I have to be completely honest, boundaries is something I still struggle with, and boundaries and personal needs, they just seem so elusive. They're like an optical illusion for me, like as I'm trying to learn how to grasp them. And I'm curious how you've navigated those terrains.
Yeah, I think a quote I heard, and I'm probably going to butcher it because it's just off the top of my head right now, but something I heard a long time ago was like, the people who have the biggest issues with the boundaries that you're setting are most likely the people who are crossing them. That made me feel differently about setting boundaries, because I think we can fall into this perception of when we set a boundary, like we're the bad guy and we're telling people how to act and how to be. But really what we're doing is essentially putting up some walls and showing people where the door is, to say, this is where you can walk through, and this is where you can't walk through. Really just setting up some parameters to be in good relationship and connection with you. And I think that's really beautiful and not at all like this bad perception that sometimes it can get, because I just think that this like bad perception comes from being triggered, when even being triggered can be really beautiful, because like that experience that I shared with my ex-partner, I was real, because he was having a hard time not sharing his opinion, and I was really triggered by him sharing his opinion. And I'm like, ooh, what is this? And I think when we can get curious instead of judge the other person, judge ourselves, what have you, and we can really just get curious of like, what is this? There's so much opportunity for growth. And if both partners are consenting to being there for that growth, like even if you're triggered, even if it feels really hard to get through, there's so much goodness that can come out of it. Because like I said, he realized he was triggered from not being able to really have that discernment to say, this is what I need. And I was realizing I was triggered by his sharing of opinions, because when I was growing up, a very common theme for me was feeling unheard. And I also had this conditioning that like every time I shared about something I was excited about or something new that was happening, I would get these opinions shoved down my throat before anyone even cared to ask me my opinion. And I realized that was even it. Like I wanted to be able to not only form my opinion without influence, but also be able to have somebody say, oh, what is your opinion on this issue? Like, I know you're struggling. What is your opinion before I share mine? When it was so quick to just be like shoved down my throat, even in this instance, was like, I want you to listen, not share your opinion. And the opinion was what was wanting to be shared. And I'm like, oh no, this is just because I want somebody to want to know my opinion. But also I'm like, oh, this is just conditioning. So then I was able to stop that trigger literally in the process, and was like, oh, okay, this is where this is actually coming from. I'm going to go take a 10-minute walk, calm my nervous system back down, and then come back. And we ended up having like a way more functional conversation. But like to bring that back kind of full circle is like, as much as these boundaries and stuff can be really hard to set, if you are in connection with these people who are genuinely wanting to grow alongside you and with you and help you grow and grow themselves, like it can be so beneficial for both sides of the connection. Because yes, you might be setting a boundary that they may or may not be violating, but there's usually something there for them to discover as well, especially if it's off-putting that you put this boundary up. But also once the boundary is up, how are they going to react or respond differently? And there's usually so much growth in that too. And I just think that, like, if you're, like I said, if you're really in it for like growth and being better humans, which I think, like, I know we are, but a lot of people in our circles are, we're all like growth minded and looking to improve ourselves. Like, I think that that's the more beneficial mindset to have than, oh, I'm closing somebody out with these boundaries. It's like, no, actually, I'm actually bringing both of us up, even if it's really hard at times.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah. You hit on so many great points there. Again, I took some notes, so I'll circle through them. But the first time I remember when boundaries were, I was still, let me back up. So many thoughts coming in at once. When I was first working with boundaries, I had like an image that came to me, and it was almost like, at first I thought of boundaries as being like this really like closed in tight, like kennel type feeling. And then I realized that it could expand and be like this giant pasture that like I get to walk around and have as much freedom and safety within my boundaries, but they're set to keep me safe. And that was really a huge turning moment for me. And I think what you hit on a couple of really great points. I mean, all of your points are great, but the ones that stood out to me are specifically like going back to how we learned to communicate and were received in our childhoods. Like, that's huge, because we have to remember that our parents and caregivers laid the template for our relational patterns. And especially me growing up with two alcoholic parents, like for anybody that grows up with parents and caregivers that have some sort of addictive tendency or qualities, I highly recommend getting professional help, because it's really challenging to like unlayer that. And that's part of why I think boundaries for me come as like an optical illusion, because they were never set or upheld or honored or like ever anything like that in our household, at least prior to the age of 7 for me. And then again, that comes to like, how do you deal with conflict? You know, like, how were you taught, or how did you see to deal with conflict? Because all of those relate back to those triggers. And this, I'm just like soaring. All the, my descriptive word, soaring like an eagle. Okay, we'll go with it. Over your comment about self-awareness and just being able to interrupt the pattern and the trigger that you witnessed within yourself. And I just wanted to mention for the listeners too, like, being committed to personal growth allows you to become curious. And that self-awareness is like a side effect, I always say, that comes from that journey, whether that's the self-care journey, the mindfulness path, the self-advocacy path. Like, there's so many different paths that weave in and out of that, but self-awareness becomes born from that. And again, you can have a lot of help unveiling these things within a professional setting too, of course. But yeah, I'm like obsessed with self-awareness. I've recently realized just how much I talk about it. And yeah, so that's, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I love that you brought up your experience with your parents too, because I just think that, like, when we can remind ourselves that everyone has their own thing like that, that they're working to understand better in themselves, reprogram their brains, whatever, to function better or differently, that helps us really, like you said, not take things personally, because we can really realize the humanness of that person's experience and your own. And granted, you can't do any of this without a safe space, and having these conversations before any sort of triggers might arise or issues might arise definitely helps the whole thing. But most of the time that we are triggered, it's not actually about the thing that actually triggered us. And being able to recognize that about somebody, it's like, okay, there's something underneath here. And maybe now is the time to talk about it, or maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. And bringing it back up later. But instead of just getting, we get so caught up sometimes on defending ourselves that we don't realize that that person's also having a challenging experience for some other trigger or some other reason too. And like I said, not taking it personally, but also just like bringing the humanness back into it and recognizing, okay, we're both having totally separate experiences here. And that's where boundaries can help. There's somebody on Instagram. It's like Joy Ross Ignall or something. She's, her name's Joy. I think her husband is Ross, maybe. I don't know. Or Matt. Maybe her name's Joy Ross. I don't
we
know.
Can, we'll find
we can
the,
link it.
Well, yes, we'll find the link.
It's so hard. I'm like, I can picture her handle, but I know her name's Joy. She's a relationship coach, but she kind of puts the image, because you were talking about your image of boundaries, and her image is that boundaries are like a house, and kind of where I was saying boundaries like show people where the door is. It's kind of, I guess, a similar concept of like, you have your house and, you know, the living room is where like everyone's usually welcome, but your bedroom is your safe space for you. And you get to choose when to open the door and when not to open the door. But also there's that like separate area that people know, like that's your space. And that's kind of how boundaries can be. It's like I said, you're showing people where the door is and what you are here and aren't here for. But if you can set these boundaries and not look at them as just an enclosed wall that's blocking them out, but you do have this doorway that opens that allows people to show up with and for you in the specific way, in the specific area, you know, it feels less of a rigid thing because, I mean, yeah, boundaries, they're meant to be firm, but also they're there to give people better direction on how to love you. And it's kind of just like its own love language.
The whole house analogy, that really resonates with me too, especially because you don't just show like everyone your bedroom, for example. I mean, maybe you do, and but for the sake of this metaphor, and if you do, maybe that's information for you to just think about on your own. But, and no judgment there. I'm just, whatever. Moving on. I read a book that really helped me also begin to grasp boundaries a little better. And I'll link that in the show notes too, but it's called How to Unfuck Your Boundaries, I think. And it goes through
that.
You've read it?
I've heard of it. I haven't read it.
Yeah. And it's, it goes through so many different types of boundaries. Like, like what is rigid, what is permeable, like, and all these different categories. And it's,
I think that's really cool because also I think that boundaries change as we change, and the more self-aware we come, they change. And so they are in a lot of ways flexible. And that's where it's really important to surround yourself with people in your circle that are growth minded, because then when they do change, they're not going to be shocked by it. But also there's some things that, you know, might never change, like the way in which I prefer to have my communications now and saying like, this is what I need in this moment, or being able to ask my friends or connections, whatever, is like, oh, how can I show up for you right now? Do you want advice? Do you want whatever? And that's something that, you know, is a foundational thing for me. So then when all of my other boundaries might be fluctuating or flexible and changing, like there's also these foundational pieces in which that I can self-advocate for myself.
Yes.
And help others self-advocate for themselves, because that's really what it's about anyway.
Right, like, exactly.
Not just for our own selves, but we can help others too.
Yes. And there's something so beautiful about a friend that knows you that well, that says like, hey, I know this about you and I just want to check in, or like, you know, I'm noticing in whatever way. And usually our friends, especially friends that are on board with this growth and language, can find ways to speak to you that actually reach you instead of triggering you more. But I think that that can be a challenging part of the path, right? Because we're learning communication, we're on personal growth, but then when you have family and friends that you've also known throughout your life that aren't necessarily on this train, navigating that conversation with them in the same way can be difficult and challenging. Have you experienced that?
Yes, I do think that it can be really challenging with people who have known you a long time because we were one way for so long. And then when you try to initiate these other ways of being and living, you can be met with a lot of resistance, especially if they're not a type of person who met you or knew you when you were on this self-growth path, or it's kind of like I think it is a quote somewhere, probably, I don't know, but it was like there's always several versions of you. There's like the version of you that you know, and then the version that somebody else, like everybody sees a different version of you. And so there's hundreds of versions of you out there. And I think it can be really hard for some people when they've seen you one way for so long, and then you start showing up differently. It just interrupts their whole perception of you. And that can feel challenging on yourself because you, if you're not very self-aware and self-confident in what you're doing, it can have this like backlash effect of like, oh, like, do I really want to make this change? Like, oh, is this really what I'm about now? You start to like question yourself because they're questioning you, but really it's just their uncomfortableness with like, oh, this is like, this is interrupting my version of you in my head. And that I think that has posed the most challenges to me, especially for people I've known in like childhood. Kind of going back to what I said, like a big trigger for me has always been feeling not heard. Like I remember being at holiday parties and I'm talking, and even if somebody asks me a question, and by the time I'm done telling my story, not a single person at the table is listening to me anymore. And things like that that would happen. And I mean, if holiday parties get hectic, like sure, there's a lot going on, but there was a lot of instances just growing up where like I said, opinions were shoved down my throat or all these other things. And so I think the stronger I try to show up in my voice and in exactly what I need in situations with people who have known me a really long time was like probably the biggest challenge for me, because it really makes you find your strength in these changes you're making and solidifies the why behind why you're making them. I once I heard this quote and I can't think of it now. I'm like really bad with quotes today. I don't know. But
That's okay.
it said something like women are like tea that you never know how strong they are until it's in hot water. And that's kind of how I look at it, have looked at it myself. Like you don't always feel strong in every moment. And then you're like in this hot water of being challenged by people who knew who you used to be. And really having to dig deep and find your strength in who you're becoming and what changes you want to make so you can self-advocate for yourself and keep on, you know, that self-awareness piece is like knowing why you're making these changes to keep you going. But yeah, like I said, it's like really finding your strength in those moments that the people who have known you the longest do challenge you, because they will. But it can make you a lot stronger if you allow it.
I resonate with that a little bit from a different perspective too, is that I find personally when I go back to, like, as I'm growing and changing, and then I go back to these old friendships sometimes, it's like I find myself just automatically being the person I've always been with them. And when I have like grown into a different person, and then I find myself like, like the same old bullshit, like literally just bullshitting in the way that we talk and stuff. I like, and then I can see myself doing that, and I'm like, hold on, like, I don't like, I don't think that this is like, this doesn't fit, like this jacket doesn't fit anymore, is kind of like the sensation. And it's been interesting in the ways that I've noticed that. And I sometimes, in my own tendency, is I want to, I'm like, my in my life, my lens, I'm so good at pointing and blaming. And it can be really easy for me in those situations to just say, like, oh, well, these are the, that's those people, that's this situation, instead of recognizing that when I can own how I've changed and then show up differently myself in those situations, I have, and I know this isn't for everyone, but I've found, I'm grateful in my life that most people, it's not like they're not doing the same old shit, but they accept me for my shifts and my change, and that they're cool with whatever I want to do. Like, they're on board with it, you know, nobody really
and
cares.
They probably, some people get inspired and like, actually, I would love to change that about myself too.
Right. Yeah. And you may not ever even know that, like the silent impacts that we make.
Yeah. I think a piece that goes with that, especially with people you've known a long time, but really anything as a whole. I've recently just worked with a client on this piece, and I think this metaphor is so perfect, but releasing attachment to the outcome can really help in those situations. And I look at it like sand. So if you are on a beach and you stick your hand in the sand and grab a big old handful of sand, the harder you grip onto it, the more sand slips out of your fingers. Where if you can hold it loosely, you keep a lot more sand in your hand.
Wow.
So utilizing that metaphor, I like to think of relationships like that, because a lot of times when we do try to grip so tightly to the outcome of staying friends with somebody you've been friends with forever, staying in a relationship and having it work out, when you get so focused on these outcomes, everything feels way more rigid, way more pressurized to figure it out, whatever like issues you're dealing with. And it just feels so much harder in the moment, where if you can like release grip and say, no, I'm just taking the next right step, whether that's advocating for myself and asking for what I need, whether that's letting somebody know like, hey, actually, I don't like to gossip anymore. Whatever it is that you used to do with friends and you don't anymore, like being able to take that step and loosen grip on what the outcome of that is. Because at the end of the day, like there's friends, just to use a specific example, friends of mine that I used to have, I hung out with them and they're the same, like gossiping, talking bad about people. And I'm just like, I'm not here for this anymore. And if I was so focused on staying friends with them, the whole situation just feels icky, because then I'd be staying friends with them in a situation that doesn't feel good. But then if I can loosen grip on the fact that I'm just taking the next right step for me and removing myself from that type of situation, because I don't want to be a judgmental person, I'm not here to talk bad about people, then I know I'm doing what's best for me. And when I can loosen grip on that, like I lost this one friend for about 6 months, and she ended up coming around and apologizing to me and like asking what I've been doing for my self growth, because she's really inspired by it. And that really came from loosening grip on what it's going to look like. Because at the end of the day, like I said, like that wasn't a friendship that aligned with the new values that I have.
Yeah.
And so if I was gripping so tightly onto that, then I'm also gripping on to values that don't align for me anymore, because at the end of the day, that's wasn't working out for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh, I love that you touched on the values, because that's definitely like what I heard you kind of speaking to as well. And I teach this inside my Well Self course, and my SEC membership is values. And it's something that came to me. I think I learned originally from Brené Brown's work, but then it was in my self-awareness for social justice class that I've mentioned so many times on my podcast. But it's like, we're all operating from some usually unconscious set of values. And when we can bring that into our consciousness and know what is important to us, it allows us to navigate all of life, particularly relationships, with so much more ease. And I really like this example you're giving with like the friends and the gossiping, because I feel like another option is like, you're like, okay, I like these friends, I want to hang out with them, but I don't want to engage in this behavior anymore. So your other option would be to stick around and not engage. And then you're just like not fulfilled. And it's just like, almost like, what am I doing here? And then it comes back kind of to what I was saying in the beginning, this question, like, what are friendships? What are our relationships for? Is it just for like gossiping and talking shit about people? Is it just for throwing our opinions around? And I think getting deeper with that, it's, for me personally, I And we all have to determine what's important to us in relationship. But I'm not going to be able to say the name. reciprocal relationships.
Yes.
I was trying to say reciprocal. I'm not going to say it. Reciprocal relationships are really important to me. And like recognize, like I want, I recognize that I have relationships with some people that it's just the way they are. Like they're not really going to reach out to me. They're not going to come visit from where they are, that, you know, even when they're in town, I may not hear from them, but I know that like, if I need them, like they're there, you know, like there are so many different layers to different types of relationships, but for me, my really close people are the ones where it's like, it's a two-way street. And I have recognized that that's, yeah, really important to me. Felt like I just went off on a big rant right there.
Yeah. No, but I think I love what you said about like how your other option is to hang around them and not engage. And that can feel awkward. But then I always peg the further questions of like, well, why are you still hanging around them? Because I think a lot of time we stay in friendships or relationships because it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because going out of that feels uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, it's like, why, if they're not engaging in things that feel of value to you anymore, and they don't have shared values, then what is the purpose of that friendship? Or what is the benefit of that friendship? And not to say that you can't have friends that don't have direct benefits. But if you're in a healthy, growth minded friendship or just healthy relationship in total, like there are benefits to it.
Yes.
And so I always encourage people to like look at that piece, because a lot of times we do keep people around because it's comfortable, and sometimes getting uncomfortable might mean losing them altogether. It might mean losing them for some time, but at the end of the day, you're moving in alignment with yourself, and that always feels good.
Yes. Absolutely. At
the afterwards, maybe not in the very moment.
Right. Of course. Yeah. And that, like, I hear you speaking to like this, it's not something I've contemplated before. So just thinking of this in real time, but like, yeah, comfort versus fulfillment. And it's like, you're willing to hang around, but you're like, you know, you're not really, you might be comfortable because these are the people you've been with, but are you like really fulfilled? And so, yeah. And just remembering that, like, something that the new language I've found recently that I'm just obsessed with is like making friends with discomfort. Discomfort is part of the journey. And I think the more that we can become comfortable with discomfort and the unknown, that helps us to be able to, yeah, come back to ourselves, to know what's important for us, and to really navigate from within those values.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that some comfort friends can be good. Like, I think there's
absolutely,
it's really good to have different types of friendships,
yeah,
for different things. And like, I have people like you where we jam on work stuff a lot and business stuff and health, but then I have friends that like don't ever want to talk to me about health stuff ever.
Yeah.
And it's always, you know, it's good to have different friends. And I have the comfort friends that I go back home to, and they might be doing the same shit they were doing in high school, but like it's fun to like see them once a year or something. But that's like, I'm good, I don't need to talk to them all the time.
Yeah.
And then like you said, I have these people that have my back no matter what. Like, it's good to have a mix of people, because then no matter what you're going through in life, you always have a different type of person who might be more supportive of that. It can definitely be harder when it comes to a romantic relationship, because we tend to want that person to fulfill all those roles, especially when they're that person that's like automatically instantly there for you, because that's just how American relationships work. It's important to have, to me, I think it's important to have friendships and romantic relationships. Like, cause I saw somebody on Threads was saying something about friendship, and some lady commented and was like, but what if your best friend is your partner? And almost as like an excuse to like not have any friends. And I was like, oof, Like, while that is incredible, like, I love when people date their best friends and like they feel so close with that person. Like, if you don't have anybody else, it's kind of like, I even look at it as like you put yourself in an echo chamber because you're only hearing the same perspectives, the same opinions over and over again. And where if you have these different friendships in different types of like realms, it's always good to have like, you kind of really get to hone your perspective of things because you're hearing more opinions and you're hearing more perspectives and ways of life and kind of like culturing yourself more than when you get like so stuck on certain types of people or whatever. So I don't know. Good to have the comfort people, but also way more value in finding people that make you comfortably uncomfortable.
Right, absolutely. Yes, having the people that you know are your people that you share your values with, but then the people that like you have differences as well. And I love what you're speaking to, that not just like no one person can be everything for you. And it's, I definitely advocate for and want to see more of that in relationships in general. And that's again like the human connection of relationships, because to put that pressure on one person to be everything for you, it just doesn't make sense. And that's where we can go into so many split hairs for what these different types of relationships are, especially coming out for me in this like non-monogamous, polyamorous type dating field. Like there's a lot of, it's like, oh my gosh, like, because I had a friend and someone that I dated for a moment that like brings lots of great questions to the table about, and we don't have to go down this road. I'm just giving examples if it piques the interest of anyone listening, but it's like, can't you date your friends? Can't you date your friends? I just said that twice. And yourself. Let me just pause to laugh at myself. I can't believe I just repeated that twice the exact same way.
This is what happens when we're going on 2 hours of podcasting.
And I'm just like, it's something that really excited me though, at these questions of can't you date yourself? Can't you date your friends and romanticize those things? And don't you have like the difference between intimacy and sex? And like, just there's just so many
So
different
many
layers.
dynamics, yeah.
Yes, dynamics and layers. Yes. Well, how should we leave this conversation? I feel like we've dove into a lot of really great things. I especially hear self-awareness, personal growth, re respecting our humanness, having variable relationships, knowing what is important to us, challenging our beliefs, and knowing how to kind of bridge that space and be in relation with people that maybe don't necessarily share our values.
I think for me, the best way I could close out part one and part two is to be in relationship with other, whether that be a doctor or your healthcare system or your partner or your friends, what have you, work, career connections, anything. You have to establish a relationship with yourself. And I think that a lot of people avoid that. They don't let themselves get bored. They fill their lives with distractions because it can feel really uncomfy to sit and really get to know what you're thinking and feeling about things, but really foster that relationship with yourself. And that is really the key to being able to self-advocate for yourself. And really just build the strength in all of your other connections is really starts with that relationship with yourself. And that is not the easiest situation to navigate. But if you think about it, like there's a difference between, like, if you invited somebody to hang out, there's a difference between genuinely connecting and just sitting in a room together. And I think we sit in a room with ourselves more often than we genuinely connect with ourselves. And so for me, like the best advice I could give anybody is if you're trying to strengthen your relationships with anybody, Like I said, I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. You need to strengthen your relationship with yourself because we set the tone for how others can treat us and love us. And if we don't know how to love ourselves, if we don't know how to treat ourselves, if we don't know what we stand for, we won't be able to advocate for ourselves at all.
Wow. That's like, I'm like, yes. I think that's the really, really beautiful and very poignant way to end that. And I do full-heartedly agree. I always like there to be space for, 'cause I, for me, it's the inner journey outward. Like I could not agree more with what you're saying. And I also want to hold space for the people that have that opposite journey where it starts in connection with others and it leads them in. But I do believe that being in healthy relationships and exactly as you're saying, being able to relate to others in a health, growthful oriented type way that we, it all paths do at some point lead within, and we do have to know ourselves. That's just the most beautiful way to leave this. Thank you so much, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was fun.
Thank you for tuning in today, creatures. I hope that you enjoyed this episode with Kristen of Shut the Gut Up. Please let us know what you think. There are lots of links in the show notes, including a podcast form link where you can communicate with me and let me know what you think of the episode. You can also take a screenshot, post it on social media. That definitely helps in the small business realm of things. And if you have an idea bubbling in your own mind about what you want to hear on the podcast, definitely check out that form. There's now a virtual tip jar link if you want to monetarily support the podcast. There's a newsletter sign-up link where you get bi-weekly self-care, tangible tips and tricks and all of this stuff, emails to your inbox, and then a once-a-month real-time update from me. We have the free mini courses. There are so many different ways to be in touch. Feel free to check out the show notes and check out Kristen's Instagram or her website. The things mentioned in today's episode are also hanging out down there. If you are curious, the links, check them out. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for taking care of yourself because the world needs it, as I always say and want to remind us in our very busy lives, learning how to take care of ourselves in a world that does a very good job of taking us outside of ourselves and teaching us not to pay attention. This is great that you're slowing down, you're tuning in, you're learning how to show up for yourself in all of these little ways. We will be taking a break next Friday, letting you marinate on these last two episodes, the previous series that I just did on the Healing Heartbreak series. There's so many juicy episodes to tune back into. Feel free to re-listen, maybe even screenshot and post what your favorite episode has been so far. And we'll be back on March 15th, where I'm bringing you an episode called Modern Day Zen with one of my dear Zen friends, Caitlin Warzala. Until then, creatures, keep showing up for you. I believe in you.